Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in the day to begin with some inspiration, to talk a bit about current events, and read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine. Today is September 6, 2010, and you're listening to show number 88. And we are going to begin with some inspiration. We gain strength and courage and confidence by each experience in which we really stop to look fear in the face. We must do that which we think we cannot. And that is a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. And then a couple of quotes about light. One by Mitch Hedberg says, I wanted a candle holder, but the store didn't have one. So I got a cake. And I'm thinking that is a great way to celebrate. And today is a day to celebrate. Buddha says, thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. And the last bit of inspiration is an anonymous quote, and someone on Twitter called Lawrence Bland says, minds are like parachutes. They function only when open. And so this is the watchword for us, that in order to learn, we're able to be open to what is before us. I also want to tell you something special about Twitter. Know that I'm always encouraging and helping to teach people how to use Twitter. It is one of the most powerful social networks out there today. And it wasn't until just about yesterday when I realized personally how powerful it is. There is a special place called Twitter Toaster, where you see the discussions and conversations that go on with your Twitter account. And a couple of days ago, I sent out a little tweet that said, homeopathy works in Ghana. Emperor, which is the name of a homeopath there, is a talented health worker and homeopathic student working in Ghana. And from that one tweet, I realized how valuable it was because two people replied, and then from there, three more people retweeted, and from there, it told me that there were five mentions. Mentions means that it was repeated. And so there were two replies and three retweets, which accounted for 1,183 second-level follows, which means that tweet was read by over 1,000 people, which brought them directly to HWC, where they could see a video about Emperor, the homeopath in Ghana. And that's why I encourage you to get on there and interact with other people. In the news, I would like to talk a little bit and do reading about the whooping cough epidemic, which is surging back in different parts of the world. Last year, one of our members had mentioned that it was going on in Australia. That was Trevor Sheffield, had done a blog on HWC about the whooping cough return. And then we heard a lot more about it coming back in California, USA. And so I'd like to do some reading from the New York Times article that was in there a week or so ago. It was a story by Tara Parker Pope called Vaccination is Steady, but Pertussis is Surging. And there were 200 comments and on that New York Times article. So again, I'm encouraging people to get busy with the social networking and do feedback replies. That way you get to put your voice out there, your opinion out there, your take on what's going on, and also to hear what other people have to say. So the story begins, 4 weeks ago, my 11-year-old daughter has been coughing. It is not your run-of-the-mill summer cold, but a violent, debilitating cough that takes over her body, usually at night. During these fits, her face turns red and tears start streaming from her eyes. She coughs so hard, she eventually starts to gasp for air, making a horrifying sucking sound that at one point had me reaching for the phone to call 911, which is the emergency number in the USA. But she eventually catches her breath. Several times she has coughed so hard she begins to throw up. It took a few visits to the pediatrician before she finally received a diagnosis, pertussis, the bacterial disease better known as cough. And when we think about listening to a story like that, we might begin to put in our mind a picture of rubric, which we may research in the repertory and then confirm in the materia medica. And we might look up things like lacrimation hunger, gasps for air, crowing sounds, or coughs until vomits. And then I'll continue with the story. That may surprising, says the mom, since, like most other children, she was vaccinated against the disease on schedule, and again in preschool. But in recent years, pertussis has made an alarming comeback, even among adolescents and adults who were vaccinated as children. So here we've got a lot of comments down in the discussion board from this article that the mom is telling us. And one of the comments by the editor says, the rise in cases does not appear to be spreading among school-age children who are vaccinated. It's likely related to older children and adults who have lost immunity. Those are the people who seem to be getting sick, as are very young babies who haven't been vaccinated and don't have full immunity yet. And so here she's trying to tell us, the editor, that you're going to need to have your immunity boosted about every 5 years in order not to contract the pertussis virus. And so what does this tell us homeopathically? We know that a natural immunity is for life, and these booster shots need to be given over and over again. And sometimes they don't take, and sometimes kids get the disease even though they've been vaccinated. Okay, so we'll go on with the reading of the story. Highly contagious, and it's spread by coughs and sneezes, pertussis is epidemic in California, with 2,774 confirmed cases in 2010 alone. This is a sevenfold increase from last year, putting the state on track for the worst outbreak in 50 years, and 7 infants have died. This month, the Pennsylvania Department of Health issued an alert to physicians, and a top health official noted an unusually high rate of pertussis among 8 to 12-year-olds in the Philadelphia suburbs, including, incidentally, she says, where she lives. And the outbreaks have been reported in upstate New York, South Carolina, and Michigan. I'm wondering, about the spread of this disease and how it is moving from state to state and whether there's a record in the demographics of what is making it move. She goes on to say, no one exactly knows exactly why this is happening. In the 20s and 30s, pertussis was a feared childhood killer with an annual toll as high as 250,000 cases and 9,000 deaths, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC. In the 1940s, health authorities introduced a combined vaccine against diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. This is called DPT or DTaP. And by 1976, pertussis was virtually eliminated with just 1,010 reported cases. So now we begin to wonder about these combination vaccines and what kind of morbific disease agents we are introducing into the human organism and how it relates to the recent aphorisms that we have been discussing in Samuel Hahnemann's Organon that we have found. He mentions that perchance the natural diseases can create an elimination, an annihilation or total disease from a natural disease that is currently going on. This can happen in nature, and this is probably why people today, the medical world, has developed vaccines. She goes on to say that since the 1980s, the pertussis is rising in cycles despite the introduction of new vaccines with far fewer side effects and a CDC recommend for adolescents and adults to get a booster. In 2008, there were 13,000 cases, and health authorities said the actual figure might be far higher, 800,000 to 3.3 million a year. And this is because the reported cases reflect only those confirmed by testing, and many adults and adolescents cases go undiagnosed. This is absolutely true. People walk around coughing and sneezing and having breathing problems and do not go to their physician, or the physicians today will often miss the diagnosis and say, give it something else, or automatically give antibiotics, which will take care of the disease without really giving a diagnosis. So this is my own take. And then going back to the article, the author says there are several explanations for the rise in pertussis, but most likely it is waning immunity after vaccination. Immunity wears off, especially for adults who are decades past their most recent vaccination, quoted from Dr. Tom Clark, epidemiologist with the CDC. Moreover, adults and adolescents often wait weeks before seeking treatment for a chronic cough, and even then, doctors may not recognize it as pertussis. This is really an excellent article for us to all read, and there is more to it, but I wanted to get on now to our reading. I read about one half of the article to you, and there's more to go on with it. There's also considerable articles on the HWC website about the return of whooping cough, and I will post that link for you in the blog. I don't know. So now we're going to go on to the reading, to a little review of previous aphorisms, and to always remind ourselves that a medicine is a substance with the ability to human health. And this altering capability of medicines can be ascertained by the effects on healthy persons. So this is where homeopathy differs a bit from a regular medicine. Aphorism number 63 states that primary action and secondary counteraction of the drugs and the vital force do occur, and this can be observed. And aphorism 64 gives us many examples of that, and so it, well, it's an example explanation of the primary and secondary action, while aphorism number 65 gives us many examples of that. Aphorism 66 explains that it's a restoration that goes in steps in the process of the vital. The living organism uses as much secondary reaction as is only necessary to restore the individual back to health. So it is a very subtle reaction. Aphorism number 67 says that as careful observers, we as homeopaths can see how both in nature and our experience we observe the primary and secondary reactions after taking or giving the medicine, which produces the artificial disease. And although in the majority of cases only homeopathic care using the similimum is necessary, there are times when there is an exception to this rule, and in those very few emergency cases of life and death, when there are only moments, minutes left before action must be taken, then palliative and allopathic treatment must be used. In aphorism 68, which was our last session, by administering the similimum dose of the medicine that is required, that is giving the medicine to produce the artificial disease similar to the natural disease, this small dose will overpower and remove the natural disease. And then the artificially produced disease will disappear without further action necessary. So that artificially produced disease is the use of the medicine. And we will move on to aphorism number 69 today. In the antipathic palliative mode of treatment, however, precisely the reverse of this takes place. The medicinal symptom, which the physician opposes to the disease symptom, for example, the insensibility and stupefaction caused by opium in its primary action to acute pain, is certainly not alien, not wholly allopathic to the latter. There is a manifest relation of the medicinal symptom to the disease symptom, but it is the reverse of what should be. Here intended that the annihilation of the disease symptom shall be affected by an opposite medicinal symptom, which is nevertheless impossible. No doubt, the antipathically chosen medicine touches precisely the same diseased point in the organism as the homeopathic medicine chosen on account of the similar affection it produces, but the former covers but lightly the opposite symptom of the disease only as an opposite, makes it unobservable to our life principle for a short time only, so that in the first period of the action of the antagonisticative, the vital force perceives nothing disagreeable from either of the two, neither from the disease symptom nor from the medicinal symptom, as they seem both to have mutually removed and dynamically neutralized one another, as it were. For example, the stupefying power of opium does this to pain. So here he's explaining to us the how. How does it work, the primary and secondary action? How does the palliative, antipathic medicine act on the living organism? Aphorism 69 continues, in the first minutes, the vital force feels quite well and perceives neither the stupefaction of the opium nor the pain of the disease, but as the antagonistic medicinal symptom cannot, as in the homeopathic treatment, occupy the place of the morbid derangement present in the organism in the sensation of the life principle as a similar, stronger artificial disease, and cannot therefore, like a homeopathic medicine, affect the vital force with a similar artificial disease, so as to be able to step into the place of the original natural morbid derangement, the palliative medicine must, as a thing totally differing from and the opposite of the disease derangement, leave the latter uneradicated. So here he's telling us, again, some of the natural laws and principles that the two, we use homeopathic, the similimum, because two diseases can't be living in the same place in the organism at the same time. So one supersedes and takes over the, and negates it. Whereas in the allopathic palliative treatment, there's differing. They're not occupying the same. It is touching the action of the opium, which he is giving as an example, because there is something analogous going on here with the pain, and it will work in a short period of time, but it's not going to eradicate the disease, and therefore it's going to return again once that palliative medicine is taken away. So let's continue in the reading, aphorism 69. It renders it, as said, by a semblance of dynamic neutralization, that was referring back to aphorism 68, at first unfelt by the vital force, but like every medicinal disease, it is soon spontaneously extinguished, and not only leaves the disease behind, just as it was, but compels the vital force, as it must, like all palliatives, be given in larger doses in order to effect the apparent removal, to produce an opposite condition, referring back to aphorisms 63 and 64, to this palliative medicine. The reverse of the medicinal action, consequently, the analog of the still present undestroyed natural morbid derangement, necessarily strengthened and increased. That is what we're talking about here in aphorism 69, but there is a, by this addition, reaction against the palliative produced by the vital force. So here, not only now, the vital force itself has to deal with the natural disease, the morbid, it also now has to react to the allopathic palliative derangement that is going on, the force of this opposite antipathic remedy that is being given by reacting again in a strong oppositional force. Continuing to the last lines of aphorism 69, the symptom, the single part of the disease, consequently becomes worse after the term of the action of the palliative has expired, worse in proportion to the magnitude of the dose of the palliative. Accordingly, to keep to the same example, the larger the dose of opium given to allay the pain, so much the more does the pain increase beyond its original intensity as soon as the opium exhausted its action. And there are a number of footnotes to aphorism number 69. So here again, what he's explaining, Hahnemann is telling us that a palliative such as opium is being given to allay pain. So it's being given to allay part of the symptoms in perhaps a somewhat, it touches some of the, but not the totality, not the similimum. And therefore, it's going to affect the organism in some way. And now the organism is going to have to deal with both the natural derangement, plus on top of it, in that same way we said, the law of physics, the amount of force in one way is returned in the other way. And so again, if a drug is given, the body is going to have to deal with that drug. And the more of that opium is given, the more opposite reaction, counter reaction, will have to be given by the living organism. Now the footnotes go on to say, In the living human being, no permanent neutralization of contrary or antagonistic sensations can take place, as happens with substances of opposite qualities in the chemical laboratory, where, for instance, sulfuric acid and potash unite to form a perfectly different substance, a neutral salt, which is now no longer either acid or alkaline, and is not decomposed even by heat. Such amalgamations and thorough combinations to form something permanently neutral and indifferent do not, as has been said, ever take place with respect to the dynamic impressions of an antagonistic nature in our sensific apparatus. Only a semblance of neutralization and mutual removal occurs in such cases at first, but the antagonistic sensations do not permanently move one another. The tears of the mourner will be dried for but a short time, a laughable play. The jokes are, however, soon forgotten, and his tears then flow still more abundantly than before. Okay. Hahnemann is talking directly to me because in a previous aphorism, I mentioned, or in a previous day's inspiration, I mentioned Norman Cousins and how he cured his cancer through the use of laughter, through the use of joy and humor. He would take videos out, films from the old comics, and watch them daily. And he said this was part of his healing from cancer. So what Hahnemann would say to Norman Cousins today, would he refer him to aphorism number 69 and this footnote that maybe the laughter allayed the grief, loss, and illness for a short time, but it did not take care of it completely. I'm not sure how he would answer this and what kind of discussion would take place. And I wonder how others out there are feeling about this in their own life. Have they had something sad happen and someone came along and lifted up their spirits for a little while by telling them some jokes and you laughed? But then what happened? Was there then even more grief, even more tears coming from you? This is really an interesting point that he brings. And this footnote came after talking about, let's see here where it is. He was saying, there's only a minute left. We're going to have to come back on this on Sunday. This is really a very full aphorism. We're going to repeat aphorism 69. So, here he is talking about, it renders it as before said by a semblance of dynamic neutralization. So that first footnote was talking about how the medicine is acting, actualizing agent to the disease, or being antipathic. That is out of the Organon for today. I hope you enjoyed it and have reaped some benefit from listening. And I will see you next week, because this is the end of the readings for this week to the holidays. Take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Looking forward to seeing you the next time.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.